Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Father, we're here this morning because of you. Father, there isn't anybody else that is worth living for, giving our lives for. Than you. Father, I thank you just for your amazing grace that you lavish us with every day. Father, I thank you that you really have saved us out of despair. You saved us out of hell. You've saved us, Father, from everything that could separate us from you. You've done it all. Father, I thank you for the spirit of life that you've given us, your spirit that you have, again, lavished upon us into our lives to enable us to live up to that high calling that you've given us as believers, but also as a church. Father, I thank you. You give us your spirit to enable us to live what you've commanded us to and live what you've called us to. And Father, today I thank you that we're right at the beginning of a year of seeing you do things in us and through us in a way that we haven't seen before. Father, I thank you that you have called us to live beyond our own lives and to live for the benefit of everybody else that is around us, the benefit of the nation that we live in, the benefit of the continent that we're in. Father, our lives are short. They're like chaff in the wind. They're here one moment and the next they're gone in the context of eternity. And Father, I just thank you this morning that as we just look at some things in your word, just catch some of what you're saying and what you're doing at this time, that it would just blast every sense of complacency or apathy, any sense of just flabbiness in our lives or just, well, I'll wait till tomorrow to really accelerate in the things of God. That Father, you would just show us this morning the extent of your purposes, what makes your heart beat, what is ticking in your heart, in the depth of your being, and who you've made us and what you've called us to, Father. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you transform us this morning by the renewing of our minds. I thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in us. But I thank you, Father, for a quickness to respond in every one of us today. To respond now, to respond tomorrow, to respond this week, next week, this year, Father, to be fit for your purpose, to be fit in every way. Lean Christians. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Just say, sounds like business today. Turn to somebody else and go, ooh. Okay, now, the phrase that we're coming into this year with is fit for purpose. That's what today's message is called. So if you're the person, what's the message called? It's fit for purpose, okay? Don't write discipling Christians or faith for the future or anything like that. It's fit for purpose, okay? Now, God has been getting us fit for his purposes. Now, if you're going to naturally harvest, you've got a field in front of you. I know these days there's combine harvesters that do it all, but in the olden days when there were no machines as such, you had various bits of equipment and you had to bring in the harvest by hand. And those who were going to bring the harvest in had to be fit. They needed to be healthy. They needed to be ready for what they were going to do. And in the same way, for the spiritual harvest that God is speaking about, then we need to be spiritually fit for the spiritual harvest. Sounds obvious and, it's an obvious thing to say. But for the natural harvest, we need to be physically fit. But for the spiritual harvest, we need to be spiritually fit. Yeah. Now, God has been taking us through a bit of a process, and I'm going to just share a little bit for the first few minutes this morning of something that God has been speaking to us in the eldership about, and some of the things we've been reviewing, looking at and doing over the last couple of months, and where we're at this point. And some of you might be aware of this, many of you probably won't be. But when God speaks, we need to be quick to respond. It's important when God says something into our lives that we don't delay in responding to what he says. Unless God is speaking to you about something that is to come, that he's getting you ready for something so that your thinking is ready and practical things get into place for something that is coming, unless God is speaking about something that is in a few months or years' time, when he speaks to us, it's because he wants us to respond immediately to what he's saying. Now, Kingdom Faith has been what it has been, mainly due to Pastor Colin's call and ministry over the last 30 years. And the way Kingdom Faith has grown and developed initially was around his ministry and around the call upon his life, the apostolic nature of his ministry. And a lot of things have developed, a lot of things have happened, a lot of moves of God have taken place over the last 30 years. And, many of us are where we're at today because of his investment into the things of God and the way he has then released those, imparted those, and in one sense has set his face like flint to just serve the purposes of God in the generation of time that he is alive in. Not just for a generation that has now been finished with, but a generation of time that he is alive in. He has set his face and his purpose that nothing is going to move him to the right or to the left or to deter him from kind of discharging, as Paul kind of talked about Timothy. You've got to discharge all the work of the ministry that I've called you to. It's like he has set himself to give, release everything that God has imparted and placed and revealed into his life. And many of us have benefited and have received and go on receiving the well and the depth of life and anointing that is upon his life. And a lot of stuff has grown, and people all over the world, lives are being touched and impacted and changed as a result of his ministry, whether it's literally face-to-face hearing something, whether it's a resource in terms of a teaching material, a book, whether it's a conference, whatever it has been, whatever people have received. And in one sense, that has created, it's broken through in a way that all of us can then run in a way that we wouldn't be running necessarily without that. Now, God has been speaking to us, and over this last 3 years, we've been going through a transition as Kingdom Faith from one generation of time into a new generation of time. And God has been moving in our nation in a general way, you could say, across the church in the last 30 years, where the church has been revived to the things of the Spirit, and there's been awakenings in different ways in the life of the church, and there's a lot more going on now, for many of you that have been around a bit longer, than was happening 30 years ago. And in God's wisdom, he has determined that there's a new generation of time that is started, and now the church is here not for ourselves, but the church is now here for the nation, for society, to bring that change that God has determined for this part, this time in history. And God has been speaking to us about the church being turned inside out, about that we're here not for ourselves, but for everybody who is not here. And in terms of being fit for purpose, God has been speaking to us about getting everything in place for the harvest. And any branch that is not bearing fruit, then cut that off. Any branch that is bearing fruit, then that needs to be pruned so that it becomes more fruitful. Right. And that process has been going on. And we read that in John 15, where God clearly speaks about he's the vine, we're the branches, or he's the gardener. Jesus is the vine and we're the branches. And he cuts off every branch in us that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Then he says, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Now, what I believe and what I'm going to share in a minute that God is saying is not that we've got it wrong or we're missing God or we're not right with God or anything, because in this process, Jesus was saying to these guys, because of the word I've spoken to you, you are clean. But that's not enough just on its own. It's how you respond to what I'm saying that will determine how you remain in me and I remain in you, and whether you continue to move forward in my purposes or stay where you were. And so this isn't an issue of whether we've got right hearts or wrong hearts this morning. It's God moving us into this new generation of time, but us understanding what he's doing and how he's working. Now, God was speaking to us really during the course of last year as Kingdom of Faith to be fit for purpose. But in the last couple of months as an eldership, we've been praying and looking at the whole of Kingdom Faith, and we've wanted to make sure that everything we're doing is in line with the call and the purpose and the vision that God has given, and that there's strategy with that. And over the last couple of months, we've been looking at everything, okay, that we're doing. And some of what we're doing, when you look at the amount of finance that comes through in the year, when you look at the amount of staff we have, when we look at the amount of people in the church here, we look at all the extensiveness of the relationships that we have in churches out there and all the different things going on, we came to some conclusions, and one of which was that we're not seeing the fruit in relation to the amount of seed that we're sowing. And we're not seeing the fruit in relation to the amount of money that we're putting into certain things. And one of the things that God really began to speak to us and show us is that we'd become complacent with our faith. And that God wanted to revive a dynamic of faith in a fresh way. And as well as looking at certain areas of Kingdom Faith. And so we kind of sat down and we said, okay, God, what is it that you have really called us to do? What do we know that you have called us to do? Not how busy are we and look at all the stuff we can do because it's all good, but not necessarily the best that God wants. And when we looked at everything, God really spoke to us and said, well, I've shown you that I've called the church into being. I've called to the Bible school into being, the training facility, and to equip people to send them to the nations. And then he's called us to and spoken to us about Faith Camp, that point where people from all over the world meet together for a week under the apostolic anointing, and everything that God does and releases in that context that then affects so many people and the way they are and what they do then during the year. We see some of the fruit of that in many young people's lives that have been marked by God at Faith Camp, and the amount of testimonies we've had where they say that has determined the course of their life, the direction of their life, the decisions they make, because of the way God marks them, okay, in that context. And God really spoke to us that these three things are things that he's called into being, initiated, and he hasn't told us to stop. And so we just began to really look at those things, but we also began to look at, if we're going to be fit for purpose, then one of the things that we felt we needed to do is not have as many people on the staff to fulfill what God is saying at this time, that God was calling some people on the staff to move into other things, some maybe to get jobs and join the church, not join the church, but be more in the life of the church, but have a job out in the community in some way. Others, we got a sense that God was wanting to send them out in some way into missions or into release them into ministry in a different way that wasn't so much based here. And that was kind of part of what God was saying. And so we've been through a process over these last couple of months where we've been praying, we've been looking at things. And one of the things we did just before Christmas was we got all of the staff together, and we kind of talked with all of the guys and said, what we want you guys to do over the Christmas time is to pray and to really ask God about where he's calling you to be in this new season of time. Because God said to us, I want you to start with a clean sheet of paper. It's like a fresh start. Don't just try and juggle a little bit of what is in place, but start with a fresh sheet of paper. Start afresh. And in that determining, he was determining certain things, the way he wanted us to be as a people in terms of the dynamic of faith. We were all going to have to step up to the mark in a fresh way spiritually. We're all going to have to kind of go into some up a few gears in terms of God's purposes and what that's going to mean. But also a new dynamic of faith, a real buoyancy of faith, not just in a financial way, but in everything we do, expecting a harvest, expecting results, expecting breakthroughs, expecting so much more through everything that God has called us to do. And also the way we're going to be running things is going to be very different also in terms of what's required, certainly to be on the staff side of things. And so we asked everybody to really pray over the Christmas time and really hear from God as to what is he saying to you personally, as to where he's calling you to be in this new season. Now, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, myself and Pastor Colin spent during those days, we met with everybody individually, really to hear from them, what do they believe God is saying to them. Now, as we've been praying and talking and looking at things, we have a certain things in mind and certain things we believe that God wants to do and how things need to be. But we also wanted to hear from everybody on the staff as to what they were feeling. And it's been an amazing process to go through, because what everybody came back with was actually pretty much what, as an eldership, we really felt in terms of for lots of the individuals as well. And it's amazing the way that God, well, it's only one spirit, isn't there? So he's going to speak to people. But it's been great just to hear what God has been saying to everybody as they've been coming back and just sharing what God said to them, and whether they should be here as part of what God's doing next, or whether God's calling them on to the next season and wherever they need to be doing whatever God's called them to be. Now, one of the challenges that we've had over these last few months is a financial challenge, because in one sense our outgoings have been more than our income, if you look at the whole of Kingdom Faith. And that's not because we've been spending money in a way we shouldn't. In some ways we haven't been doing things that we've really needed and should be doing, and so we've been trying to be as wise as possible with the finances. But one of the things that highlights a situation in any of our lives, isn't it, is when finances are tight, God gets your attention. Or when finances are tight in your life personally, you think about things a lot more. You know, when you're a bit more flush with cash and you're not so much thinking, you know, we've got to really be careful. When you're aware of what's going out a lot more, you're much more careful about what you spend and what you don't spend. Is that right? When you've got a bit more cash, you can tend to be a little bit more, well, it's all right, you know, I've got money in the bank, and, you know, it doesn't matter if that costs an extra this, or we do that, or, we can be, if you're not careful, you can be a little bit more liberal, can't you, in the way you think. And so one of the ways historically that God has got our attention as Kingdom Faith is when finances are tight, there's two things. Either one, spiritually, we're not where we should be, or secondly, we're spending money in a way that we shouldn't be. And God wants to get our attention to really focus us. Now, one of the kind of consequences, if you like, of this last few months as we've been looking at things and really seeking to get things right, is we weren't in a position to pay the staff just before Christmas. And so nobody got paid for December. Now, we'll be able to pay everybody this week coming, but we did not have the finances there to pay everybody. And you can look at that and say, well, you know, what's going on there? And it's been a slow kind of accumulating thing that we've been addressing. But in the context of what God has been saying at this time, partly it's to get our attention, to get to grips with the call, the purpose, and everything that God has called us to be and to do. Now, I want to partly, the team, or the staff team, had a great response just on hearing the way people came back in terms of what God said to them. We didn't have any moaning and groaning and complaining about that, but everybody, people have come back just in a place of saying, this is what God's saying to me, I know this is what God's saying to me, I'm moving into this, I'm moving into that. And we haven't had moaning and groaning, but yet God has, not just from a financial point of view, but you see, if we're going to move forward, all of us, as everybody, in this next season. We've got to live in a dynamic of faith that we haven't been living in. The best way to get our attention is when you haven't got money or not enough. To get you sharp, to get you focused, to see where are we not fit for purpose, where are we not healthy, where are we not really on track with what God is saying. And so in this process, we said to all the guys on the team, even just before Christmas, even if one morning we'd had a check for £1 million come in or something, we'd still be going through this whole process. It's not actually got anything to do with money that we're going through this process, and that there's going to be less people on the staff. God, if somebody this morning there was a check in the offering for £1 million, and we the finance department looked at it tomorrow, hey, wow, you know, emailed round, there's a check for £1 million, praise God, and all of that, we would still do exactly the same as we are now. That's right. Whether we had £5 million in the bank, £10 million. Because we want to be fit for purpose for this year and everything that God is saying. So these things are going to be quite different. We're going to be implementing some of these things over the next few weeks. Some of you will feel the impact, or the church, all of us will feel the impact of some of it more in some situations than others. But I just want to read you something out of Isaiah 33. You don't necessarily have to turn there, but verse 23. This is one of the verses that we had when we were praying about things. Now, this verse is in two halves, and I just want to read the first half first. It says here, your rigging hangs loose, the mast is not held secure, the sail is not spread. Now, everything we were doing was good, but it's not necessarily the best or in the way that God wants. And partly God was saying, your rigging hangs loose, your mast is not held secure, and the sail is not spread. And so one of the things we've been seeking to do is to make sure that the key things that God has called us to, the mast, if you like, that goes right through the boat, is in place, it's held secure, then everything else is going to be able to be stretched out to catch what God wants to do in the right way. Now, as we've been doing that, look at what God then promises as you do the first part. Then an abundance of spoils will be divided, and even the lame will carry off plunder. No one living in Zion will say, I am ill, and the sins of those who dwell there will be forgiven. Now, just think about the results of getting fit for purpose. Look at the results of being fit for purpose. Then an abundance of spoils will be divided. There'll be so much abundance that it can be divided amongst everybody because there is so much. I'm not talking about money, so I'm talking about harvest. I'm talking about fruitfulness. We're talking about souls being saved. We're talking about our nation being impacted, right? Even the lame will carry off plunder. Even those that don't look like they're going to be fruitful are going to be fruitful. Even where it looks impossible, it's going to happen. No one living in Zion will say, I am ill. What does that say?
That's right. Come on.
That means that God's purpose is that we are a people of health, amen, a people of wholeness, yes, a people who live in the supernatural health of God. What does that mean? Then we can pass that supernatural health of God on to everybody else who is harvested. That what God's talking about is a supernatural dimension of healthy living. That's what that is. Right. Rachel's with me. Anybody else? Yeah. It's talking about no one living in Zion will say, I am ill. Amen. Then it says, and the sins of those who dwell there will be forgiven. I think that's an awesome promise from God in relation to getting things straight, getting things in place, okay? Now, I just want to go make it a bit more personal now to everybody in the next few minutes. But just to finish with this part, without realizing it, as Kingdom Faith, we've become very organizational internally. You guys might not feel the effects of that so much. But internally as Kingdom Faith, there's some cogs that just turn cogs because cogs need turning. And that's part of what we've been seeking to decog, okay, and address. because God has called us to reach and touch and change people's lives. And so the whole emphasis of everything we do is to release whatever God has put into our lives. And we just need to have the bare minimum of support and structure to help facilitate that to happen. So that's partly what we're streamlining, so that we haven't got an organization to run an organization, but we've got the mechanics in place to help facilitate the ministry, the output, the release of everything that God has put into our lives. Now, one great thing from this is it's going to create a lot of new opportunities for a lot of you guys to be involved in things that maybe you haven't been involved in, which would be good, right? So it's a kind of making way for more people to be involved in stuff. But also, from a financial point of view, the income of Kingdom Faith roughly is about 2.6 million, okay, in any given year, well, at the moment. And about 70% of that income comes through gifts. Now, that is a lot of money. Now, that includes the tithes and the offerings from, you know, the church here, which accounts, I think, for about, I don't know, 25%, 30% maybe of the annual income. So if you think 70% of the income comes through gifts, if you take off the 30% of what we give as a church into Kingdom Faith, then 40% of the rest of it, you know, is just gifts. So we don't know where that money's coming from. Now, when you think that 2.6 million and then 40% of that, which is what? Just over a million. About 1.2 million comes in through gifts. Now, God is faithful. That is a lot of money every year in gifts. It's not that we get 100,000 a year in gifts. We're getting over £1 million. That's not from us lot. That's from outside of us coming into Kingdom Faith to do everything that God's called us to do. Now, God wants to increase that, because God's going to bring a greater fruitfulness. And as we prune back in line with God's purpose, then that's going to also then release more finances for everything God has called us to be doing. Okay? Now, let's kind of make this a little bit more practical. Okay, I've got a couple of things up here. Little chair, telly. Got a couple of other things I want to bring out here, if I can find them. You'll like one of them. Got my laptop, I've got my clock. What do you reckon to that then? Now, just to let you know, it is not mine, okay? It's not mine. This is Megan's, it was one of her Christmas presents. Megan loves pink things, and this is a pink alarm clock, okay? So we'll just put that down here for now.
It's the wrong time, guys.
There it is, isn't it? Anyway, that's all right. Now, God wants us to be fit for purpose, not flabby. And so we need to be aware of how do we keep fit for purpose and what can make us flabby, what can take the edge off our lives. Now, I just want to... There's three particular points that I want to kind of talk about. The first one is number one. You can write this down if you've got a pen. You need to have a complaint that is stronger than the status quo. You need to have a complaint that has a stronger force than the status quo has. You need to have a complaint in your life about something that will stir you and cause you and help you to stay fit for purpose. Now, what do I mean by a complaint? Because we hear here, we don't moan, we don't complain and whine and whinge. Now, with any vision, there must always be a complaint behind that vision. God sent Jesus because he wanted to change something. The complaint, if you like, that God had in his heart, the thing that stirred God was he wanted to break the power of sin, set mankind free from hell and death, restore them to the glory and the relationship of knowing him. And so Jesus came with a vision, and the vision was to go to the cross to establish victory for mankind, to get them out of death and hell and sin and back into the glory of God. People through the Bible, many people had a complaint. Nehemiah had a complaint. He went before God because he heard that the walls of Jerusalem had been broken down. And he went to God and he wept and he mourned. But he had a complaint that the people of Israel, or the people of the city of Jerusalem, had been defeated. And he wanted to see them restored. He wanted to see God's purpose restored. So behind that was the fact that there had been some destruction and he wanted to see a restoration. We see in modern history different people. Wilberforce with the slavery. He had a complaint. It was called slavery. But he had a vision which was to bring something different, to abolish that and for God to do something new in society, in the human race. You can bring it right up to now. You might have a complaint about the state of young people's lives. The way young people's lives are being stolen and ripped apart and abused. You might have a complaint behind your vision to say, I want to see a nation change. There's got to be something that you want to see it change from. What is the complaint that stirs inside of you? What is the thing that inside of you that says this must change? And it's got to become this instead. It could be for old people. It could be for a certain nation. It could be for, I don't know, all kinds of things. But when God gives a vision, it's always to change something from what it has been into what he wants it to become. If there was nothing to change, we wouldn't need any vision. If there was nothing to change, we wouldn't need any purpose. And so for every one of us, there needs to be some kind of complaint. I'm not talking about whining and moaning. I'm not talking about you go around complaining about something. It's something in your spirit, a dissatisfaction for the way something is. And you say, this has got to change. Right. Now, God has given us a vision about the nation and Europe in particular, to see a transformation, to see a spiritual awakening right across this continent. But within that complaint of we don't want to see the nation stay as it is, what is it that is in your spirit as part of that, as a church? What is it that, what complaint do you have in your spirit about something in our community, in our town, in our 25-mile radius, something where you engage your time, your energy, your life, everything that God has put in you to see something change from the way it is to the way it needs to be?
That's right.
Because without a complaint, you'll become passive. Without a complaint, you'll become compliant. You'll just go along with the way things are. If you have a conviction about something, a conviction can overcome fear that stands in front of you. When you have a passion for something, that can overcome opposition, because there's something in you that is burning to see a change, and the status quo cannot hold you back from moving into it. Okay? If you have a complaint, it will cause you to pray. Because you have a vision to see the complaint changed into something that God has shown you. So it's not that God's just given us a vision. Wouldn't it be nice if everything was like that? Oh, it'd be lovely. Praise the Lord. But what is it that burns inside of you as a believer, as part of the body of Christ, where you take responsibility for responding to what God has put inside of you? Just quickly turn to, what's the time? Just quickly turn to Acts chapter 2. We haven't got time to preach the whole thing on this at all, but I just want to say something here. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says here, they devoted themselves. Now, normally we read the rest of the verse and talk about all the things they devoted themselves to. But let's just take those three verses. They devoted themselves. You are the only one who can devote yourself to something. I cannot devote you to something that I want you to be devoted to. Pastor Colin can't get you devoted to something that he wants you to be devoted to. You are the only person that can take responsibility to devote yourself to the purposes of God. He says, they devoted themselves. There was a personal responsibility that every person took to devote themselves to the purpose of God. It's not the day anymore where the church is here so that the believers just get fed all the time and become flabby spiritually and ineffective because they're waiting for another meeting, another conference, another bit of input before they believe God can do anything. It's time to, they devoted themselves. It is time not to say to everybody, come on, let's really worship the Lord and meet with God. You need to take responsibility to devote yourself to be a person that releases praise and worships and meet with God. It's not the time anymore to say, come on, we need to be a praying people. You need to be a person that devotes yourself to say, I want to give myself to prayer because I have a complaint about something and God has called me to be part of something and I need to release what God has put in me as part of this bigger thing to see God's purposes released. It's time that you devote yourselves to whatever God has put inside your spirit, whatever ministry you might be able to get involved in terms of reaching out, touching lives, doing anything, but you need to take that responsibility to devote yourself. Amen?
Come on.
Okay, we haven't got time to go more into that. Second thing here, discipline that is greater than my desire for leisure. Okay. Discipline that is greater than my desire for leisure. Now, sometimes we have a desire to do something, and because of that desire, it causes us to be disciplined. But most of the time, it's the other way around. We need to be disciplined in order for a desire to begin to grow in us to then do something. You know, what you feed on gets stronger, right? Whether good or bad. What you feed on, that's what you think about, that's what is in your heart, that's what you end up doing. And there's all sorts of things these days. I don't just want to just pinpoint TV and computers, but just some examples. Discipline that is greater than my desire for leisure. Now, we've been given not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of what? Power, love, and of sound mind, self-control, self-discipline, okay? When the Bible says, take captive every thought and bring it under the lordship of Jesus Christ, it doesn't just mean, right, I take authority over these thoughts, I bring them under the lordship of Christ, amen, that's it. You've got to replace those thoughts with something else. So you take captive negativity, doubt, whatever might be coming your way, the enemy's rubbish, you take captive, say, right, I'm taking hold of those thoughts and I'm bringing them under the lordship of Jesus Christ, but instead I'm taking hold of the word of the truth and putting that in my mind because that's what I'm now going to think about, and if that's what now I'm thinking about, that's what I'm going to speak about. So you've got to replace it with something. Now, you know, all of us, we all like to relax and chill out and all of that. But there's a discipline in one sense. I believe God's calling us to, as a church, a disciplined life. What does discipline mean? It just means making right choices. To make right choices to produce, to see the right outcome. Now, all of us know that you know, we like maybe on a Friday night or Saturday or whatever, we get home, flick the telly on, put our feet up and kind of just relax and watch a movie and just chill. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing that. But does your leisure dictate certain things in your life, or does the complaint that you have in your spirit determine the choices you make? See, I personally, I have complaints in my spirit about society, the way it is, the way people speak, the way people act, some of the things they do. So for me, I've determined I am not going to do those things. So personally for me, this is just a very personal thing. Personally, I do not drink alcohol. Now, I don't do it because the Holy Spirit said, don't drink alcohol, you know, not like John, you know, John the Baptist, no alcohol's going to go across his lips or anything. But for me, I see there's a huge drink problem out there. Because I've done a lot with young people, there's a lot of drink and related things with young people. So personally, it's like, I don't want to drink alcohol because what that represents in our society, this is as far as I'm concerned anyway, is all, you know, breaks, all, it just leads to all kinds of stuff. Now, I want to live in such a way where I don't want to get involved. I don't want to drink. I don't want to have any alcohol for personal reasons. But it's partly for me to do with the complaint that I have, because I want to see a change out there. And it's possible to live a full life without drinking any alcohol and feeling like you've got to have a bit of beer or whatever to have a good time or to, you know, all this sort of thing. Now, I haven't found personally that by not drinking, it's affected the way I relate to unsaved people. They don't look at me weird. They don't think I'm a girl, you know, because I don't drink. But see, for me, I'm not saying it's got to be for everybody, but in society, there is a drink problem. So I have a complaint. That's one of the things that I want to see changed. Not that I've got a campaign about drink. It's about people's lives. It's about being saved, isn't it? That's the only thing that's going to set people free from the stuff. So it's not, oh, get my thing out and parade, you know, we shouldn't have alcohol. No, that's completely not what I'm talking about. But you see, that for me is one of the things. And there's other things for me. There's certain things with the TV. You know, all of us have got, I mean, I don't work in an unsaved environment like most of you guys, but we've got people, friends, people we know that are unsaved. And when you're in that environment, people swear, people tell jokes, people, you know, their general conversation, the chit-chat, the content, a lot of it is stuff that you don't necessarily want to be involved in, right? But why do we sit down and make a choice then to sit in front of it and watch it? You see, at work, you don't have a choice. You're there. God knows that, that's fine. But why do we then go home and stick it on the telly and sit in front of it and watch it? You see, what makes you spiritually flabby? Looking at stuff and entertaining yourself with stuff that isn't going to build you up. Now, you might think, Clive, you're getting on your hobby horse here. I am, and I'm going to stay on it. You see, if you want to be fit for purpose, if you want to be fit spiritually, then you've got to feed yourself on stuff that's going to help you to be fit. Now, I'm not saying don't watch telly, but just be wise and don't just sit in front of things. Don't just say, well, I hear it all at work anyway, so it doesn't really matter if I watch it. That is rubbish. That the war is out there. That's where the battle is when you're in all these contexts. So therefore, you're going to have all that crud going on. But don't bring that battle into your home.
Come on. Preach it.
Okay. Now, that's just my having a go at you for a minute. Right. Just use another example. All of us use the internet. All of us do all sorts of things, don't we, on the old web and everything. It's fine. Loads of good relationships that, you know, there's all sorts of ways of communicating and, you know, you meet people, talk to all sorts of things. So fine. But there's all sorts of things that go on when you're doing it, little pop-ups. And you think, oh, what's that? You've won £1,000. Oh, great. Click on that. And suddenly something else pops up on your computer you weren't expecting. Or something else begins to, you know, and the next thing you're like, no, I'll get rid of that because I'm in Kingdom Faith Church and we don't do that. Press return and it's got rid of it. But then you're on it a few minutes later and another pop-up and you've won a laptop computer. Oh, cool. Click on it and the next thing and something else could pop up or whatever. And it's very easy then in that environment because things are a lot more accessible these days. You don't have to go into a news agency these days, do you, to buy something off the top shelf. You can just be on your own somewhere in your room, not even necessarily thinking about that, working on stuff. Something comes up, a little teaser here, a little thing there. And before you know where you are, you're getting flabby spiritually. It could be all sorts of things that we, there's relationships, friendships, relationships that we begin to flirt in and beginning to, you know, just all, any, you can pick any kind of thing. But what do you have on the inside of you? What is the complaint? What is it that's stirring away on the inside of you that causes your vision to be even more clear because you say, I want to see a change in this area. This is what God has put in my heart and my spirit to see changed. And so I've got this vision that determines the choices I make, the things I watch on here, what I do if I'm on there. Or even in the morning, you set a time and you're asleep and a thing goes off. And even if you haven't got a lovely pink one like that to whack in the morning, you know, there's certain disciplines that help to produce desire.
Come on.
And sometimes when this thing goes off, it's the last thing you want to do in the morning is to crowbar the duvet off and you know, leverage yourself out of bed into this warm or cold bedroom or whatever. And, you know, it's not necessarily the thing you want to do first thing in the morning, is it? But what? How do you want to be? Fit or flabby? See, God wants to define things in your day at the beginning of it, not at the end of it. All right, fine, pray in the evening, but that's the end of the day. What you want to do is start the day, even if it feels like this in the morning, which it does for me. You know, when I, not every day, but a lot of the days, you get, you know, it's, but sometimes discipline turns into desire.
That's right, come on.
Sometimes, you know, discipline helps to create a momentum. When there's a momentum, then it's easier, but you need that momentum to get going. Some people say, well, I don't need an alarm clock, brother. The Lord wakes me up. Well, praise God if he does that, but he doesn't do that with me very often. He says to me, you've got an alarm clock, use it. I wouldn't get one like that because it ticks at night and I can't get to sleep when things are ticking in the room. So, but God's called us to be fit for purpose. You see, why do we get flabby? Because we lose sight, one, of the complaint, and two, the vision. Without a cause, you've got nothing to live for. See, what is the cause that God has placed in your life, in your spirit? What bugs you? What gets you on your soapbox? Now, I don't mean by that you stand up and you just whine and moan and complain. That's not... What gets your goat on the inside? Now, I don't mean just things you don't like about people. I'm not talking about that. But we're talking about things that need to change. And then we're not talking about a crusade for something where we start getting plaques out and moan and whinge and all that. That's not... What as well as your relationship with the Lord, what is it that sparks you in your spirit? What's the thing that just... I want to see that change. I want to see that. What area of ministry do you want to get involved in because you want to see a change in some aspect of life out there? So being fit for purpose. This is what God's called us to. And, you know, it'd be very easy just to say the obvious things. What helps you be fit for purpose? Prayer, the word, and all those kind of things. I mean, really, they're just things we need to be doing as believers. Time in the presence of God softens your heart, keeps you open and teachable. Time in the Word just keeps you with revelation, keeps you sharp, keeps you thinking right, gives you God's perspective on stuff. I tell you, if you're not in the Word, you're going to find it hard to take your thoughts captive because you've got nothing, there's nothing going on up there apart from all the rubbish that the enemy's trying to bring in your mind. If you're not in the Word, I tell you, it's going to be hard to hear the Lord. Some people say, well, I just find it hard to hear the Lord. Okay, are you reading the Word in any way? Well, not really. Well, that's why then. It's not because of sin or this, that, the other. If you're reading the Word, you'll hear God. Whether through the Word or just when you're praying, he'll speak to you. But if you're not even reading the Word, then it's like, I want the Holy Spirit to talk to me. Well, read the Word and he will talk to you.
That's right. It's true.
But being fit for purpose. If this morning, if there's nothing you've got a complaint about, if there's something that's not, yeah, this is what I really want to see happen. As part of the vision that we have as a church, this is how I want to really connect and give my energies, time and what God's put in me. If you haven't got anything that stirs you, then you need to get before God. I'm serious. You need to get before God and say, God, put some complaint in me to see a change. Yeah. It might be with working with the children, J 24/7. because you want to see a generation of children raised up in the power of God and in the things of God. And there's some determination in you that we are not going to have children that are like any previous generations, but we're going to have children that are going to move in the things of God greater than my generation or anything I've ever seen. So the complaint doesn't have to be based on, you know, it could be like, could be for young people, could be for old people, could be for families, it could be for, I don't know, orphans, it could be for all kinds of things. Right. People in need, could be for rich people. But what is the complaint? Yeah. What is it that stirs you? Because that will help you with the cause. Now, just quickly, last thing. Romans chapter 1. Pastor Colin was talking about this on Friday morning in the 8 o'clock. Just two quick things. Romans 1, just start at the beginning. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. What a great thing. Set apart for the gospel of God. That's what you've been set apart for. Okay, you've been set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David. And this is the verse here. And through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Just read that. And through the spirit of holiness, Jesus was declared with power to be the son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Now you have the spirit of holiness in you. Amen. And God wants us to, if you like, we can't cultivate the spirit of holiness because the spirit of holiness is the spirit of holiness. But in the same way, God does want us to cultivate that spirit of holiness in our lives. Yeah. Now it says there that Jesus was declared with power to be the Son of God through the Spirit of holiness. Right. Now, God wants to work through your life and my life, but through the Spirit of holiness. Yes. That's why he's taught about being fit for purpose and not flabby for purpose. Because when you're fit for purpose, you're getting yourself before God saying, God, I want the spirit of holiness to be working through my life, because the spirit of holiness will release the power of God through your life.
That's right.
In a way that is much more tangible and powerful than just saying, well, I'm a believer, so why doesn't God use me? Well, I've got the Holy Spirit. Well, that's enough, isn't it? Yeah. But the Holy Spirit is the spirit of holiness. And therefore, we want to cultivate that, be fit for purpose, so that the spirit of holiness is released through our lives. And the tangible evidence of that is the power of God at work changing other people's lives. If we don't keep ourselves in check, and we sometimes then wonder, why don't we see God do more? Maybe it's because we're not keeping that spirit of holiness in check in our lives.
That's right.
There are not automatic things in the kingdom of God. There are truths, and there's the word, and there's principles that God works by. If you love me, you will obey me. But if you don't obey me, you don't love me. I mean, that sounds like, well, of course I love you. But he says, yeah, but if you don't obey me, you don't love me. And in the same way, we want to cultivate the spirit of holiness and stay sharp, because we want to see the power of God released. Because that's going to be the difference this year. It's a year of healings and miracles and signs and wonders, the supernatural in a greater way through every one of our lives because of the spirit of holiness at work.
That's it.
Now, just look at, in relation to that for a minute, 1 Peter, last scripture. Amen. Then I'll get off my soapbox. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse, we could read all of it. It's talking about living stones and chosen people, that we're not a temple of rock, but we're living stones, chosen people. But verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, a people fit for purpose, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, But now you are the people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against the soul. What's Paul saying here? Peter saying here, be fit for purpose.
That's right. Come on.
Be fit for purpose. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see. See your good deeds. Now, good deeds there isn't just helping Aunt Flo across the road on a you know, to the supermarket. Good deeds in the Bible talks about, really, when you look at that word, what does good deeds mean? It's everything from helping and serving people through to laying hands on the sick so they get well. Good deeds is being obedient. Good deeds is everything from helping somebody naturally to seeing the supernatural release through your life. So the word here is saying, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see the power of God through your life and glorify God on the day he visits us.
That's right. Come on.
You see, why is it any different when you or me serve somebody than anybody else? It doesn't look any different on the outside. So there's got to be something that people see that is different than just us doing what other people are doing. What is the difference? It's the power of God in the midst of it. How is the power of God released? As we cultivate the spirit of holiness in our lives. Saying, I've got a complaint that I'm living to see change because God's given me a vision for this. Therefore, I don't just want to do this and do certain things. I don't just want to do that in certain ways. I don't want to talk in certain ways. I don't just want to relate to people in certain ways. Where I can get the flesh involved or my soulish thing, desires kind of get aroused. But I want to stay sharp and fit for purpose because God's given me something to live for that is more than just my life on my own, in my own little world. And then I put my Christian hat on when I've got to do something. God has called us fit for purpose 24 hours a day, all of the time.
Right.
Amen. So this year is going to be a year of being fit for purpose, fit for the harvest, being spiritually fit. Maybe some of you need to get physically fit. Maybe some of you, the way you eat, you need to bring it into order because you're eating a way you shouldn't, or you're eating more than you should. You're putting on weight in some ways, and that affects how spiritually fit you are. There's all those kind of things, and I'm not talking about good year resolutions because they'll never last. The only thing that lasts is God doing something in your heart and your life. The work of God will always endure, continue. So there might be different things the Holy Spirit speaking to different ones of us about this morning that we need to respond to. Let's all stand, shall we, because we're going to have communion this morning. But in communion, which, as we heard on Friday night with the life group leaders, the bread and the wine are a product of harvest. The bread is a product of harvest. Wine is the product of harvest. It's cool, isn't it? So we're going to have a meal that represents harvest right now. Jesus came and harvested our lives on the cross. And so this meal represents life, abundance, it represents harvest, it represents release, it represents everything in our lives that we can eat and drink of him. Amen. But as we have communion this morning, I believe it's right for us just to pray and respond to the Lord. And there might have been different things that we've touched on, maybe in a light-hearted way, some of it. But we need to take those things seriously. You know, we want to see God move, but there's things that we need to get in place if we're not fit for purpose in those areas. It could be, I don't know, it could be you watch loads of telly or the kind of telly you watch. It could be stuff you're doing on the internet. Maybe some of it's accidental, but it's just caught you up and there's a hook in your soul or even your spirit that you need to deal with. Could be, I don't know, all sorts of things in our lives, but we want to be fit for purpose this year. We've only got 80, 90 years on this earth. I'm about halfway through mine, and you, the older you get, don't you, the more you think, I've got less time, so I want to be more effective. Hopefully you think like that anyway. Because if you just put off till tomorrow, you'll get to the later years in your life and you think, oh, I wish I'd be more fit for purpose. And I don't want to live with any regret. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to look back on my life and think, oh, if I'd just been a bit more this, that or the other, then maybe this, that and the other would have happened. So God wants us to live for today, even though we're going for something that we haven't seen yet, that's on its way. We want to live in today so we see everything that God wants to do today take place. Amen. Let's just pray, shall we, for a minute. Just bring yourself before the Lord now. And if you know there's been issues we've touched on this morning or things that the Holy Spirit has just sparked in you. I know this, you know, it's just after Christmas and probably everybody's chilled out and vegged out a bit more than they normally do. Maybe for some watched a lot more TV or whatever than before. Maybe some of you have drunk more than you should have done and you know, you need to just get that sorted. Maybe, I don't know, just it's easy in a holiday time, especially when everybody's on a holiday time, for people just to flesh out or not be on our guard or not stay spiritually sharp and not guard our spirits and hearts. And we want to just deal with stuff and set yourself for this year being fit for purpose, fit for the harvest, fit for fruitfulness. Just, you need to talk to the Lord for the next minute or two and few moments, but from your heart, if you need to repent of stuff, then you need to come before the Lord now and do that. If you know you've in different ways, some of you need to make decisions about and that you don't watch certain things, read certain things, or engage in certain things. Some of you know you just need a new discipline in your life, and you need to make a decision that's not from an emotion, but you need to make a decision of your will. And when you make a decision of your will, the Holy Spirit's going to come and help you then to walk that out. But you need to make some decisions first and put some things in place. Maybe some of you just wake up and roll out of bed in the morning. You know, there's no law that says you've got to get up at the beginning of the day and spend time with the Lord, otherwise it's going to be a rubbish day. But you start the day with the Lord and things go differently than not starting the day with the Lord. Hearing him speak to you about the day and all of that kind of stuff and just submitting and giving everything to you. Starting the day with the one that loves you more than anybody else. Just being in his presence. What a great way to start the day.
That's right.
Hearing the voice of the living God.
Amen.
I mean, how could you start the day in a better way than that? There's no point flicking on breakfast telly and this, that and the other. And, you know, that's a cack way to start the day. You want to fill your day at the beginning with something about God. Even if you're busy with the kids, stick some praise and worship on. Fill the place with the presence of God. Fill the place with something that lifts your spirit and helps you to be fit for purpose in the day. Whatever it might be, you're driving to work. Don't just listen to all the rubbish, the news that's on out there that's like, oh, look at the state of the world. Stick some teaching on. Stick some worship on. Stick something on that's going to lift your spirit and encourage you to kind of be fit for purpose for the day, where it's going to help you to be an overcomer and not an underworker or underwhelmer or whatever for any given day. Father, I thank you that you are working and moving amongst us. Father, personally, I welcome you just disciplining me at this time to be fit for purpose. I want to be sharp. I want to be fresh, Father. I want to be alive. I want to be adaptable, teachable, open, Father, and flexible and vulnerable to you in any way that you want, so that you can speak into my life, work in my life. Keep my heart soft, Father, as I submit to you. Father, if you need to repent of anything, just do it now. Do it now. Do it now. We need to ask him to forgive you for certain things. He forgives you, but you need to make some decisions. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Some of you literally just need to start picking up the word and just reading it. Instead of thinking, well, I don't know what to read or I never hear the Lord. Some of you just need to sit down in the morning and just begin to read some stuff. Say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. And don't necessarily expect that you're just going to have a rip-roaring time within 30 seconds of starting reading the word for the first time for a while. You just need to begin to cultivate something with the Lord. You'd have to discipline yourself. You're not waiting for a feeling. You're just sitting there in the presence of God, say, Father, I'm going to read your word. I thank you that your word is spirit and life to me right now. I thank you as I read it, you're going to speak to me, encourage me. And as you find over a few days, a few weeks, you begin to get a fresh hunger for the word. You begin to get a fresh desire for the word. You find you're thinking more about applying the word in a situation than just a reaction of something in a situation. Begins to define some discipline and strength in your life in a fresh way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If we could have the communion service ready, let's just pray for a minute. Jesus, we thank you that on the night that you were with the 12 in the upper room, that you took the bread and you broke it, and you said to them, this is my body that is broken for you. Thank you, Jesus, that your body was broken on the cross so that you could deal with everything that would cause our lives to be flabby, distant from you. And you've done everything to make it possible for us to be fit for your kingdom, fit for your purposes, to be sharp, Father. In the same way, he took the cup and he said, this is my blood of the new covenant, my blood that was shed for you and for many others. Amen. And this blood was shed so that men's sins could be forgiven. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for the power of your blood this morning at work in our lives. The blood that separates flabbiness from being fit. Your blood that separates weakness from power. Your blood that gives life. Your blood that energizes. I thank you this morning, as we eat and drink of you this morning, Father, that we're just saying we want to set ourselves for purpose for this year and everything you want to do in us and through us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you want to just begin to pass it around, if we could have chat up. Thank you, Jesus. Just as you eat and drink this morning, just bring yourself under his lordship for this year. Last week, we kind of consecrated ourselves to the Lord. And the consecration is to be fit for purpose. To give ourselves to everything that God has called us to in this year. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just thank the Holy Spirit for the work that he's doing in you. Just invite him to really lead you this year, to be a year of being led by the Spirit. To be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in your life. Just giving yourself afresh to him. That we're living for something far more than just our own lives and our own daily needs. That we're living for the welfare, the benefit, the salvation, the healing, the deliverance of others, whether family members, whether friends, work colleagues, the town, the region, the nation. Father, I just thank you this morning for a church of complainers. Not that we complain with words, but we complain with our actions. Because you've given us a vision to see things change to fit your kingdom, so that we see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I just thank you for every person, whatever age, young or old, whoever they may be, that every person would have a complaint in their spirit. What you've shown each person that you want to see a change in, because people's lives are being ravaged, they're being abused, they're being broken or whatever, robbed in some way, that we see something and it just sparks in us, it irks us on the inside, because you say, I want to change that and I want it to become like this. And Father, I thank you that that affects decisions we make, choices we make, because we're saying I'm fit for purpose, I'm here for the purpose of God, so I don't want to engage in this and this and that, because I want to stay sharp, I want to stay healthy, I want to stay fit, because I want to be effective, I want to cultivate the spirit of holiness in my life daily. I want to be on guard. God's called me to be part of this holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people who belong to Him. So the people out there, they see the evidence of the life of God. They don't just see me do what everybody else is doing, but they see me living something different because of the power of God working through the spirit of holiness that somehow brings the presence of God into a situation in a way that without God it's just impossible. Father, I thank you for runners in this church, runners who run with the vision, who run with your purposes. Father, I thank you've called us to be not just people who hear stuff and like to be have our ears tickled, but we're here as runners, people who are fit and healthy to have things put into our hands to run with, Father. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. And you might be here this morning and you don't know Jesus. And you think, well, I'm not fit for the purpose you're talking about. I've got a fairly flabby life then. I'm just doing whatever I'm doing. And you can respond to Jesus Christ this morning. Say, I want to be fit for purpose. I want to know you. I want to give my life to you. Jesus is the forgiver of sin because he's the one that's overcome it. He's broken the power of it. When you don't know Jesus, you are trapped, if you like, or controlled by the power of sin. It talks in the Bible that you have a sinful nature, that your nature is naturally to sin. It's basically what that means is you just live without God and you do your own thing. And Jesus came and he broke the power of sin. Now what that means for somebody when they come before God, they understand that what Jesus did on the cross was to break the power of sin so that people could be forgiven. And when you come before Jesus, you understand, you recognize that he's done all that to bring you into relationship with him, to restore you to the purpose that God has for your life, and that's to know him. And you can come this morning and ask him to forgive you and to repent. To repent means to turn around, to go in a complete different direction than you were going in. That's what repent means, to turn around and go in the other direction. And you can repent this morning of your sin, of everything that separates you from God, and turn away from it and say, I don't want that life anymore. Instead, Father God, I want the life that you want to put into me. I want this life of Jesus in me because I want to be fit for you, Jesus. I want to be fit for your purpose. I want to live for whatever you want to do in my life and through my life. So if that's you this morning, I want to just raise your hand right now. If you know, I want to be fit for purpose. I want to say yes to Jesus and give my life to him. I want you to raise your hand right now. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus and you got your hand raised, I want you to pray right now. I want you to pray, but I want you to pray strong. Don't pray with a whisper. I want you to pray from the depth of your being right now. Just talk to him. And firstly, just say to him, God, I just come before you right now. Be bold in your prayer. I come before you right now and ask you to forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for everything I've done that has separated me from you. And I ask you to cleanse me right now. I turn away from sin now. I repent of it and I turn around from living my life my way and I choose now to live my life your way, Jesus. Jesus, please come into my life now. I give you my life and I ask you to come and live in me. I want to live for you, Jesus. I thank you that you forgive me right now. I thank you, come and live in me right now. I thank you, you give me a clean start, a new start right now. I thank you, you make me fit for your purposes, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just pray right now for anybody who's responded like that this morning. You would touch them, Holy Spirit. Just begin to work in their life in a new way. Father, I thank you they're going to serve you for the rest of their days. Fit for purpose, fit for what you want to do, to bring change in society in a way you've called us to be agents of change as believers. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you want to be fit for purpose anyway, raise both hands. Say, Father, I'm here because I'm here fit for purpose. I want to live beyond my own life. I want to live beyond my own welfare. I want to live for your kingdom purposes. I want to live for the welfare of your kingdom purposes and for everything you want to do in other people's lives. Father, I choose in the beginning of this year to give myself to you, to give myself to your purposes. I choose to be fit for purpose in 2008. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for that fresh outpouring of your Spirit at this time, that fresh release of your Spirit this morning is as a church to be fit for purpose in every aspect of our lives. And with that fit for purpose comes effectiveness and fruitfulness. And I just declare that over this church, that as a fit church to be effective and fruitful in 2008, in our lives, our friendships, our families, in the workplace, in every place, to be effective and fruitful in this town, in this region, in this nation. Thank you, Jesus. In the call and vision that you've given us, fit for purpose. Father, I thank you for your abundant provision of finances this year to do everything you've called us to do and be. We thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Father. Praise your name, Father. Praise your name, Father. Praise your name, Father. Oh, I know we're running out of time, but if you need healing this morning, put both hands up. There's a number of people with back complaints, some with internal organs that need healing right now. Somebody else, you broke a bone a while ago and it hasn't healed properly. Put your hand in the air right now. God's going to realign that bone right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. There's electrical connections in others' brains that have been malfunctioning. Dyslexia, go right now in Jesus' name. Dyspraxia, go right now in Jesus' name. Mental disorders, be healed right now in Jesus' name. Physical disorders, be healed right now in Jesus' name. Cancer, die right now in Jesus' name. I speak to those cells to be full of life in Jesus' name. Life in Jesus' name. Life in Jesus' name. There's somebody watching on the web, on the streaming, and somebody who's got AIDS who's watching on the stream today. I take authority over that AIDS right now. I speak to that virus and I tell you to die now in Jesus' name. And I speak life into your bloodstream, life into your cells, life into your immune system, life into your body right now. In Jesus' name, wherever you are, raise those hands on the web. Raise those hands and receive your healing now. The curse of death is broken over your life right now. And the Lord, the Spirit of life, is released into your life right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Skin disorders being healed right now. Skin being made whole in Jesus' name. Alopecia being healed. Dry skin on their head. In Jesus' name, heal. Somebody else, you got a problem with your eardrum and God is healing you right now. I don't know if it's a perforated one, but God is doing a restoring there right now. You're not going to have distorted hearing. It's going to be clear. Put your hand on it right now. Put your hand on your ear. Be released right now. I speak healing into that eardrum in Jesus' name. Be healed. Be restored. Father, we thank you for your life, your goodness amongst us. Thank you, Jesus. Just raise both hands in the air.
grab hold of God right now in like a symbolic way. Father, I'm grabbing hold of the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.